Hello and welcome to another episode of the Agony Uncles. I'm Uncle Si.
And I'm your Uncle Dave. And here we are again with the Agony Uncles, our weekly dive into the ocean of worries.
Yes, we're here to help. If life does an enormous jobby in your casserole, me and your Uncle Dave can help sort it out.
Yes, we can. We've seen it all on our many travels. That's why we want to help you with your problems and predicaments on this, the Agony Uncles podcast.
Now, helping us make sense of your emails this week, and trust me, they do need to have sense made of them, is the voice of your problems, the thin white duke himself, Mr. Mark Jeeves.
Ah, hello. Nice to see everyone. And yes, it's been a busy week this week in terms of your postbag. Tony Lee's got in touch. He says, hello, uncles, Dave and Si, posh tash, and the Duke. Thanks for yet another great show. I was laughing out loud at the antics of parrots. This will be our last podcast. It reminded me of a tale my late father told. He was in Manchester during the Blitz. He was living in lodgings, and his landlady had a parrot, who Dad taught to whistle like a bomb falling. Apparently, it was so realistic, the landlady ran out and straight into her Anderson shelter. Thank you, Tony, for that, and for all the other parrots.
What a little
stories.
Shit of a bird that is.
I know.
You're having a laugh, I'm in the middle of me tea.
Exactly. Exactly.
And here she is, the Le Gavroche to our little chef. It's Posh Tash.
Good morning. I do like a little chef, though, slight secret. That was
then
a treat
gone
when
now.
I know. But do you know what? I drive down, what is it, the A303? The one that goes right the way down to Cornwall and Somerset and down through towards Exeter. And I literally can tell you each little chef on the way that's now not a little chef.
I used to love an Olympic feast.
Oh,
well,
yes.
We used to do it, didn't we, on the way up to Scotland after we finished filming. It was great.
And a magnificent Big Seven burger. That was always my treat. You had bottomless coffee. So whenever I finished working with you, Kingy, on the Cookson's, and I'd go up, I'd get out of Newcastle. I knew for the first time for like weeks, I had a time. So I'd sit there with a magnificent seven burger, a bottomless coffee pot, three Sunday papers, and that was me in the corner of the little chef. Money in my bin, ready to go home. Lovely.
Brilliant. Yeah, it was all very good.
Right then, me Uncle Dave, let's waggle your jingly wingly.
Bong, bing, bong, bong, bing, bong.
Hello, hairy bikers. Here is my request. I have got a problem that I must get off my chest. Won't you listen to my story like a hairy Jack and Ori? Cause I heard your advice is the best.
In this episode of the Agony Uncles, Uncle Si, Uncle Dave and Posh Tash, you're going to be solving and soothing our listeners' concerns over these trials and tribulations. We have a pie problem. We have a sexist pig alert. We have fussy food fiddler. And in Confidential Corner, it's a question of age. But today, we're going to kick off with a pie problem. This comes to us from Noreen, who says, Dear Hairy Bikers, first, thanks for all your brilliant TV shows. Go North was my favourite. I'd like to know when you're back on the TV again. My favourite recipe of yours is your fidget pie.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I normally make it at least every other week. My grandson said it's his favourite ever pie in the world.
Gosh, it's going back.
I was telling my son-in-law about this when he came over last, and he suggested I also made a muggety pie. Now, he's from Cornwall, and apparently it's a local delicacy. I know nothing about this pie, so I thought I'd ask you if you did. Lots of love and ride safe. And that comes from Noreen.
Right, let's look it up.
Can I just ask, though, if you have a fidget pie, can every mother buy it and stop their children fidgeting at the table? Is that the key?
In short, Tash, no.
I remember when we did cook the fidget pie, it was in Food Tour of Britain in 2007, I think, or 2006, and we cooked it in Gloucester Docks.
We did? Yeah, that's exactly what we did, yeah.
But I've looked it up. A muggety pie is a pie of sheep's, sometimes calf's, entrails, flavoured with parsley, pepper, salt, and enriched with cream.
Oh.
Muggety pie is a meat pie traditionally made in Cornwall, England. They do the stargazy pie as well. That stinks. All right, controversial.
To be fair, you're not wrong.
The meat inside the pie is offal, usually stewed intestines.
Ooh.
Ooh. It's too early to be recording this to talk about this.
None of that sounds good.
It's a simple ingredients, the intestines of a pig, two large onions sliced, pastry, salt and pepper to season. First, take your pig intestines and wash thoroughly. Cut them up and place in the bottom of a pie dish with the onion, salt and pepper. Cover the top of the pie dish with pastry. Bake for about an hour.
Is that it?
Wow.
That's a muggety pie.
Oh, someone get some new flavours and spices in that.
Yeah, well, then it wouldn't be muggety, would it? It would be like jiggety or something like that. Oh God, that sounds. I mean, I don't. I'm not. I'm not averse to a bit of offal, but that sounds minging.
I've got to say. Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's not great.
Although that was similarly, there's come under like underneath a muggety pie is a lark pie. Pluck, singe, and flatten the backs of two or three dozen larks. Draw them, throw away the gizzards, and pound the trail in a mortar with scraped bacon and mixed herbs. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Fill the larks with this and wrap each one in a slice of bacon. Line a plain mould with pastry, fill it with the larks, sprinkle over salt and pepper, thick layer of butter over them, two or three laurel leaves, and a pinch of ground mixed spice. Oh, God, no. Well, our fidget pie was infinitely better than any of those.
Yes, yeah. Abso-flippin-lutely. And also, you know, it's not fair on the lark population. I mean, I'm sure that comes from Tudor times or something like that. But dear God almighty, I mean, you'd have the RSPB on you, wouldn't you?
Aye.
Yeah, it makes me want to sing. What's that nursery? I'm the blackbird in a pie.
Four and twenty blackbirds baked in a pie.
Yeah. Sounds a bit feathery.
No. Yeah, that's nothing like a fidget pie, ladies and gentlemen, children, boys and girls.
No.
The fidget pie was like traditional, but it was a good pie.
And can you tell us why it's called fidget at all?
Oh, God help us.
Oh, sorry, Dave. On the spot. Get your Google out. Come on.
Well, we did know at the time, but we've done 2,000 recipes.
Sorry, listeners. I thought we had two extremely brilliant foodies on our hands.
You do. No, you do. It's just that we've got shit memories. There's a difference, as he says. We've done about 3,000 recipes since then.
Right. Well, actually, the fidget pie is named... Well, perhaps for its ingredients' tendency to shuffle in the pastry case when baked. Other theories about the name are that once fitched or five-sided, or less appetizingly, it smells like a polecat, known as a fitch or fitchet when cooking.
Right.
So they're smelly pies because they're all part of the intestines.
Ours got no intestines in it. In fact, ours, and I'm looking at the recipe now, it is on our Hairy Bikers website, so you can look it up. And it's basically shortcrust pastry, semolina, potatoes, flour, double cream, ham, Bramley apples, onions, brown sugar, sage and cider.
That sounds much nicer.
A ham and potato, won't it? Remember it now?
I remember it now, yeah. And we'd put extra big chunks of ham in, I seem to remember. Mm. Yes.
It's all layered up with butter and ham and taters. Nice.
That sounds great, actually.
Yeah. We do tend to adapt the recipe sometimes to make them a little bit more appetising.
It's called a hairy biker's twist, isn't it, Dave?
It's called making the chuffing thing edible.
To be honest, I think if someone tried to serve me up all those other ones, I'd start fidgeting, going, oh, God, it's a muggety pie.
Yeah, you'd get out. Can you imagine? Oh, you'd be properly shuffling your bum on the tower. I'd be like, oh, God.
Do you remember that time, talking about guts and chitterlings and that, do you remember that time on our very first recce we went to Portugal in Porto?
Yes.
And we were meant to be doing, you quite like your offal. We were meant to do a piece on bacalhau. So we went to a restaurant. And so I immediately ordered like bacalhau three ways so I could experience it. Kingy, however, goes and orders the chitterlings.
Oh, God.
Which, explain what chitterlings are, Si.
Chitterlings are, they're pig's intestines. But these chitterlings particularly hadn't been washed quite as thoroughly as you may have wished a restaurant to do. So... to look at these, and I thought because they were on the menu. Can you remember, mate? They were on the menu. It was like crispy chitterlings.
Oh, aye.
And I was like, oh, great. Well, yeah. We might as well immerse ourselves in the culture of Portugal. So we did. Where was it? Ah, it was Porto.
Porto,
that's right. So we're down there, you know, having a thing. Dave's doing his research on bacalhau, and I'm eating pig's intestines. And I bit through it, and I just thought. Not even I can eat this. It tasted as you would think. It wasn't great. No.
What do you do? Send it back or just sit there and smile?
No, I sat there and smiled. Well, I didn't even smile. I was like, even I was a bit green round the gills and gave Dave a bit.
Oh, it didn't go far with me.
No, not at all. Oh, it was minging. Ugh.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, my salt cod fritters were delicious.
Andrew wouldn't give us any git.
Well, Noreen, I think the advice is clear there. Stay away from the muggety pie.
Yes.
And keep fidgeting. This will be the answer.
Indeed.
Food makes everything better.
Our next problem is called a sexist pig alert. And we need one female name, one single female name. Who on the team is... Oh, she's smiling this morning. So
no, I'm smiling, but I'm equally as surprised because I forget that, don't I?
You forgot?
I forgot.
How long have you been doing this?
Quite a long time now. I'm looking at my phone. I'm going Apple.
This comes
Apple.
From...
This comes from... Paltrow's daughter is called Apple.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
What a stupid name.
Yeah.
You can make name somebody Granny Smith.
Any woman that can sell vagina scented candles and make a profit deserves respect.
Apple writes, "Dear hairy uncles, I need your help. I am a female bricklayer. I'm proud to be one. It's all I ever wanted to do since I got my first Lego set.
Gone on.
However, I get hassle at work. Not from my colleagues, as you might think. They're all fabulous. Mostly fellas, but we all get on, have a right laugh. Mainly because they know I'm better than they are at complex brickwork, so they get me to do all the tricky bonds. But no, my problem is from customers. We're currently working on an extension for this older couple. Twice now, I've heard the gentleman of the house point to a section I've been working on and say to my boss, 'Can you just check she's done that, right?' Or words to that effect.
What?
On a previous job, the male owner of the house would stand behind me and give me advice while I was working. Oh. Now, my boss is great. He always stands up for me, but it don't half wind me up. I know it's a generational thing and that I have to change as other people won't, but how? It really does my head in. Any advice? Asks Apple. Over to you.
No, you don't have to change, Apple. You just have to, you just have to rise above it because... That is absolute bullshit. It's how dare they, just because they're... What? It's just nonsense. We're living in 2023, for God's sake. It's... Oh, I hate that. With a passion, it's so fundamentally wrong, rude, arrogant, stupid. It's... Oh, oh. Yeah, I would wind me up, to be fair. Sorry.
Yeah, to be fair, Apple, that'd give me the pip as well.
Yeah,
to get down to the core of it, it's their problem, not yours.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. But it is also, unfortunately, it is fed by generations before, and there's a battle ongoing, you know, between the men that ran the world and now the women that are going to run the world. It's ongoing. So, it's frustrating. It's definitely their problem, not hers. I don't think she should change. You just keep doing your brilliant job and keep going. And unfortunately, there is a bit of sucking it up. As long as you're still doing a brilliant job, you know, eggs on their face, because when they turn around and realise your section of whatever you're laying is far better or equally as good as they thought the men doing it, then it's no skin off their nose. I am going to put my hand up, however, to something I did outrageously years ago, it must have been about 10 years ago now. We were flying out of Japan back to Singapore, where I used to live. And there was a huge typhoon, and all flights were cancelled out of Japan. So I feel pretty guilty saying this, actually. So we were about to fly out, and the only flight leaving Tokyo that night was ours, because every single one of them was cancelled because there was a typhoon. So I was sitting there going, I'm not getting on the flight, I'm not getting on the flight. My husband goes, you're getting on the flight. So we get on, and I said, and then a voice comes onto the tannoy saying, ladies and gentlemen, you may be aware we're the only flight flying out. To let you know, I think we're going to be fine. We'll miss the major part of the storm. We should be home safely. We'll put the seatbelt sign on the whole time. The voice was female, and it was a female pilot. And I sat there, and I think my first thought was, holy God, I'm never going to make it home. She's mad.
Wow.
She's mad. She's putting it on. I just suddenly thought the woman's gone mad. Every other pilot had called their flights off. And I was like, for once, I was thinking, woman, back down. We don't need to prove a point here. We just need to back down and we need to keep on the ground. And I felt guilty. I wanted a man to step on board and go, sweetheart, get off. You know, we're not flying. However, we flew home purely, safely, smoothly, no typhoon, no seatbelt signs flashing on and off. And I felt very bad when I landed the other end and just thought, I shouldn't have thought that. So,
well,
it
happens. That was a big admission.
Yeah.
But I must admit, I think it was because I was going someone safely. But I think they're bred from generations. You know, you grow up with your grandfather going, we fought in the war and the women stayed at home.
Yeah,
but the thing is that the productivity of the country went up by 35% because the women were at home. And it was mad. The land armies, all of that, all of the ammunitions, all of the whole infrastructure, government, all of that, because the men and women actually were at the front, was remarkable. And I mean, that's well documented. It's just it's. I think what makes me cross and is that, because I know Dave and I in our lives have come across it as well, is that what makes me really cross is that bloke that's saying, are you sure you're doing right, pet, is will go to his mates, you know what, have you seen that? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that bit of brickwork lovely? Or look at me new extension, isn't it lush? A woman did that, you know. But they'll not tell the woman.
Yeah.
But they'll be saying to her mates, look at that, it's lovely. A lass did that, you know. And it's like, well,
yeah, that's outrageous.
What are you saying? What does that mean? What are you saying? Just tell the person. It doesn't matter whether it's a man, woman. It doesn't matter. Just if they're doing a great job, they're doing a great job. Full stop. What's the matter with you?
I think it's the environment that a lot of these old farts grow up in as well.
Yeah,
because something like with us within the media, most of our bosses over the years, the past 40 years, have been women anyway.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
As long as they're good at the job. You know, they're worthy of respect, and as anybody is, and it's a different attitude, I think, which is born out of circumstance. If you work in an engineering factory with just old blokes, then you know you have 40 years of that. I suppose it's ingrained in you.
Yeah.
Do you know what though? I feel bad for what I did as well. But my dad was an engineer actually from the beginning before he went on to other things. But he wouldn't let me drive a car until I could change a car engine. And change all the wheels, change the engine. I could do the whole thing, but nowadays engines are different. I'm sure I couldn't do it. But as soon as I passed my test, I broke down, funny enough, a week later. And I've pulled over to the road, and the number of times men stopped off and said, can I help you? And every time I said no, I fixed the problem myself, and off I went. And I have to say, I was really chuffed by that. But there was chivalry, isn't there? There's someone asking if you want help. But yeah. It was all men that stopped, not women.
Well, isn't that interesting? Because that's exactly what my dad did with my sister. Exactly that. And our Jin still talks about it to this day. She didn't know how to change the engine, but she knew what the spark plugs was. She knew she knew how to change the wheel. She knew where the carburetor was, and you know that it goes whiz bang and off you go again. She could do all of that, and actually better than my brother, if I dare say that.
Yeah. Well, Apple, I think the resounding advice there is that the problem is not with you. You don't need to change. You don't need to do anything. The problem lies with them. Just be who you are.
Yes.
We're going to take a short break now.
If you got problems, you'll be fine. Just drop the Agony Uncles a line.
Well, welcome back to the Agony Uncles. Our next problem is called a fussy food fiddler. And this comes from... Well, I'll tell you what, actually, we need one male and one female name here. So, Uncle Dave, can we have a male name? And Uncle Si, a lady's name, please.
Bobby.
Stella.
Bobby and Stella. This comes from Stella. Dear Uncle Si, Uncle Dave, and Posh Tash, though mainly Posh Tash.
Ooh. Ooh.
I heard you talk about being trained to eat a banana with a knife and fork. Yeah. This has inspired me to write to you. Would you just like to recap that for those who didn't hear that episode, Tash?
Yeah, why? I was at school. I was in an all-girls school, and it must have been about 11 or 12. And we had a very sort of formal teacher, and we gave us etiquette lessons, and she taught us to eat a banana with a knife and fork, and I can do it.
Oh, well, and you can do it. Well, well done. This has inspired Stella to write to us. She says, I'm going out with Bobby. I have been for 18 months. He's kind, he's caring, he does look after me. But he won't touch food with his hands. And I'm beginning to think this is a deal breaker. He eats pizza with a knife and fork. He eats sandwiches with a knife and fork. And yes, he eats fruit with a knife and fork, including bananas. I've challenged him on this many times, but his answer is always that hands are not hygienic. I'll be honest, I don't know how many more restaurant trips I can stand to see him take a slice of baguette out of the basket with his fork, spread butter on it, cut it up into small pieces with his knife, and then eat it. Help me, this is odd, isn't it? Asks Stella. Over to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a problem, isn't
he? Yes.
Bit of a Howard Hughes thing going on, isn't there? Germophobia. Yeah.
Oh.
Isn't there something... I may be talking at the back of my napper here, but you know, in India, where they eat everything from a banana leaf with their fingers... And actually, some people say that's more hygienic than cutlery that's gone on the floor and washed in the water, etc. And actually, it's better to eat with your fingers, I think.
I think that's a bit of a quantum leap for for the gentleman.
Yeah, I don't think Bobby would take that one on board, would he?
No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't. Yeah, well, yeah, how can you? Right. Maybe you could wear gloves. You know those silicone gloves that you get?
Surgical ones.
Surgical
things. A bit of hand sanitizer just before you sit down. I mean, like that, we all got used to doing that, didn't we? You know, with COVID. You could do that before your restaurant, but then all your dinner would taste of antiseptic.
I wonder what it is. Because, I mean, I get, you know, right, okay, in a restaurant, it's, but, I mean, come on, man, lifting a load of bread off. And the thing is, he's got to get his head around that somebody's actually held that, probably with gloves on, to cut the bread, to put it into the basket, to serve it at his table. And the kitchen's keeping it as hygienic as it possibly can, but by the same... No, it's a bit odd, that.
But is there not a phobia for people who constantly wash their hands?
Yeah, well, it's like OCD.
Like a bit of a neuroses thing.
Yeah.
And that is a bit odd. The other thing is, though, let's go back to the banana here, because we were taught to eat a banana with a knife and fork because apparently it's unladylike to put the banana in your mouth.
Oh.
So just to say.
And that was why.
We don't do that. We did that later. Anyway, I was too young at the time. But the knife and fork thing was about just manners for her. However, this guy's doing it out of germs. But if you think about it, a banana's got a skin. You don't touch the food anyway. You peel it, you hold it with the skin, and you eat it anyway. So it's slightly ridiculous. It's almost like he can't touch food. Never mind the germs going in.
Yeah, well, a sandwich is meant to be a handheld meal, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, the whole design of a sarnie is you scoff it through with your hands, and it's portable.
Yeah.
What about a plate pie, mate? You couldn't eat a plate pie with knife and fork. It'd be weird. It's weird. You take a slice and you just, neck it.
No, I eat it with a knife and fork.
Oh.
I take a slice of pie. No, I put that on a plate.
Do you?
Of course I do. Well, your plate pies must be dry then, drier than mine.
Probably.
Mine
not when they're cold. Not when they're cold. You just open it. Anyway. Well, it may just be me. When it's hot, that's fair enough. But when they're mince and onion.
It's funny, sir, you mentioned about that exposure. So I worked with somebody once years ago, and he helped with busting people's fears. And somebody was scared of ketchup. And so he put them in a room with a set of drums and sprayed ketchup on all the drums and cymbals, and then made the person go in and bash the ketchup on the drums. So literally got covered everywhere, floor to ceiling, over themselves with ketchup. And from that day on, they ate ketchup.
Wow.
How? That's,
that was just perverse, wasn't it? That was for his own idle amusement.
And also, he flogged the footage on the internet.
Yeah. It was on TV.
I believe it's called splodging.
Oh, we're back to that again.
Excellent. Let's go there again.
Because clearly Bobby's not splodging now, is he?
No.
Well, Bobby wouldn't be splodging, would he? I mean, he's not eating eating a sandwich with a knife and fork. How do you eat a bacon sandwich with a knife and fork?
Maybe that's the way to do it. Maybe she needs to go. Look at me. All dinner's on me. What are you going to do about it?
Oh.
No knife and fork.
Well, he'd throw her in the shower. That's what he'd do.
Well, Stella, we'd have to say that, yes, I think on balance, it feels like Bobby might have some issues going on there. How you go about fixing it? Well, there's a number of options for you there. But, try spreading food all over yourself. That sounds like the most interesting one.
Just in a genuine way to help. They say you learn a fear and you can unlearn a fear.
Yeah.
So if he genuinely is scared of it, there is help. And they say it takes it's three of everything. It's 3 months, 3 days. Let's not say 3 years, maybe exaggerating there, but they say if you repeat the process of cracking it, you can bust a fear. So maybe he needs to get some help to do that.
Good advice from Posh Tash, the original banana cutter. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Well, if you're down, now don't get drunk. Just send an email to the Agony Uncles. It's time to head to Confidential Corner.
Da, 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 da.
This is called A Question of Age. For this, we need one male and one female name. This time round, Uncle Si, a male name. Uncle Dave, a female name, if you please.
Alex.
Alex.
And Helen.
Alex and Helen. This comes from Helen. who says, "Dear Agony Uncles and Princess Tash, I'm asking this question for a friend. But you'd better change my name just in case. All right, Alex, we've done that. What is the maximum age gap that is okay for a physical relationship between a man and a woman? Let's say," says Alex, "just as an example, that the woman in this hypothetical situation is 49 and the man is, say, I don't know, 23. Is that icky? And should that 23-year-old be the son of the woman's boss who doesn't know it's happening? Does that make a difference? Perhaps if they'd also done it on the boss's desk one time too, hypothetically speaking, of course. Your thoughts would be very helpful. I shall pass them on to my friend," says Alex. Over to you.
Epic. Epic. Yes.
Yes. Oh, nothing wrong with that.
Nah, wait, no. Go on. Why not? He's having a nice time. You're having a nice time. It's a bit dangerous. Happy days. Crack on.
Your heart doesn't know how old you are. Exactly. Nor does the other area for a while. So why not?
Why not? Exactly. I think we come across as quite sexually liberal, the four of us, don't you?
God, you only live once. You're not doing anything exactly illegal. If you're not hurting anybody.
Age has no bounds to passion.
No, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just ridiculous. Because it depends on the individual. You know, it depends on who you fancy and who you find passionate and lustworthy, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And a more experienced lady, perhaps, is right up his street.
Exactly, just about to see. He's on a... I'm sure he's on a steep learning curve and he'll be loving it.
Or maybe she's
had it
in
years.
But
did he say it was his boss?
Yeah.
Yeah, his boss's son.
That's dangerous.
Well,
that's great.
Son.
Why? What's the matter with a bit of that? You know, well, particularly on the boss's desk, that's a bit far. But anyway, well, I don't know. Is it? Might not be. Whatever gets you through the night is my or day, or afternoon, or morning.
I have a think, though, when people say that they do it on the desk, you know, everybody's desk that I know is really cluttered with stuff. What do you do? Do you just sweep it into the waste bin or a drawer? You've got to think too much. The passion, if you get carried away with yourself, you'll end up with all sorts of casualty. Oh, yeah. You know, your computer will be everywhere, a stapler up your backside.
Oh,
yeah. No. Oh, come on, Dave. Haven't you seen the films where you just swipe it off, crash to the floor, throw it back on it? Come on.
You get the sack.
What? For throwing a stapler on the floor?
Well, the computer, you know, everything, and, you know, the...
Maybe.
Oh, no,
well,
no.
Well, you get the sack even more if you were caught doing it on the boss's desk, I guess, you know. You'd be, I mean, you don't have to move anything. You could just stand there and use it as a you know, prop yourself up.
Yeah, there's always a stationary cupboard, surely.
Yeah, they don't have them anymore, though, do they?
No, they don't have stationary.
No, yeah. Oh, the odd paperclip. But then they're getting into S&M.
Yeah. You could staple her to the table.
Hold on. Where's this gone? Trust you. Honestly, that private finishing school has done nout for you, hasn't it?
No.
It was very thick fabric. You couldn't staple through it, unfortunately.
Yes, sackcloth and ashes, yeah.
I think the most dangerous thing about the relationship is just the fact that it's at work and therefore don't lose your jobs. Because you need your money to have the fun. But if you're otherwise, no, age knows no difference. You're fine.
Yeah, that's right. It doesn't know difference.
Yeah, it doesn't. And also, the only thing is that after it, if he's got a big gob, because at 23, you know, he'll be telling his mates that he's, you know, having it off with a experienced lady, because there's an inevitable lack of maturity there. That's when it gets a bit dangerous. You know, you've got to be careful around all of that. But in terms of the act and the passion and all of that, happy days, whatever. You've just got to make sure that it's safe to do so, and particularly for the lady concerned, you've just got to be careful with that. Yeah.
Mind you, she might be telling her mates as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, exactly that. It's just got to be, you know, it's a circle of trust who you tell, isn't it? So. Because normally it'll not come from the two individuals. It'll come from somebody else that's just wants to cause a bit of bother. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean by that?
I hate to be cynical a little bit, but it's unlikely it'll be a long, long-term relationship. It sounds like it's a lot more just fun. If I don't know, it may well be, and I hope it is. But if you think about it, he may grow up and want kids, and she's getting older and may have had whatever. I'm looking beyond into the future. So if it's just for fun, just enjoy it for what it is, and be careful.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, look, it's inevitable. 23. Well, look, you know, love is, as Dave was saying before, love's got no bounds. It, you know, it, you know, they may stay together for the rest of their lives and be perfectly happy with each other. And that's all well and good. But as you say, I think it's unlikely.
Well, I think you've got lots of advice there to pass on to your friend. So thank you very much for getting in touch.
Yeah, we're right. Yeah.
If your life's in a mess, then the email address is theagonyuncles@thehairybikes.co.uk. Yeah.
Well, after all that problem solving, we need a rub down with a baguette. So it's time to say goodbye. Thanks so much for writing in and sending in your troubles. We love it. We do. We love hearing from you, and we really do read all of your mad, bonkers situations that you all get yourselves into. So do continue to send them into the Agony Uncles. We genuinely love it.
Yes, we really do. Remember, if you haven't already done it yet, email us. It's agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. That's agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk.
Then make sure you follow us or subscribe so you don't miss the new ones when they come out. Because you wouldn't want to do that now, would you? No.
So until next week, it's goodbye from Tash.
Bye.
The Thin White Duke.
Goodbye.
And us.
Bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.